Okay. I think we're good to go. This is the most awkward setup that has ever existed. So I'll be in this corner for the meeting. This is the speaker's corner, so we all know. So I'll call the meeting to order at 6:35 p.m. here at Augustana. We're at Augustana. Very exciting. We have someone here to do smudging, though, to begin with. So I'll invite Abigail Lee up, and she can lead us in the process.
I was like, I need to rekindle.
Okay. So I will... Hold on, I'm still learning. I'll remind you all of the oath that you have taken, and I will also read off the acknowledgement of traditional territory for Augustana campus. So we acknowledge that the land on which we gather, traditionally known as Assiniska-Sipisi, Stony Creek, is Treaty 6 territory and a traditional meeting ground for many Indigenous peoples. The land on which the Augustana campus of the University of Alberta is located provided a traveling route and home to the Maskwasi, Nehiyawak, Nitsitapi, Nakota, and Tsuut'ina nations, the Métis, and other Indigenous peoples. Their spiritual and practical relationships to the land create a rich heritage for our learning and our life as a community. So I'll now do attendance real quick. So President Bhatnagar.
Present.
VP Agarwal.
Here.
VP Brown.
Here.
VP Stat.
Here.
VP Larson.
Here.
Governor Lee.
Here.
Oh, thank you.
Is this on?
Wow, power, okay.
Oh, that's better.
I cannot hold everything at once, though. Okay, Councillor McKenzie. Councillor Conrad.
Present.
Councillor Vargas Alba.
Yep.
Councillor Beasley.
Here.
Councillor Chen. It's a live stream. Councillor Dixon.
Yep.
Councillor proxy for Councillor Draper.
Here.
Councillor Isaac. Councillor Esmail?
Yeah.
Councillor Marinakis? Councillor Kidd?
She's in the bathroom.
Okay, I'll take it. Councillor Seed?
Here.
Councillor Adwan? Councillor Bose? Councillor Batyuki?
Yep.
Is that how you say that?
It's Batyuki.
Batyuki, okay.
Yeah.
Councillor Harris? Councillor Sunday? Councillor Nguyen? Councillor Blondin?
Present.
Councillor Hadouche?
Yep.
Councillor Badesha?
Yep.
Councillor Dylan? Cor Dylan?
Here.
What, is it just Dylan or?
It's just Dylan.
Okay. Councillor Gutierrez?
Here.
Councillor Jamaluddin? He's here, yeah. Councillor Syed? Okay, so thank you for being here. I feel like I can stand up and walk with you all now.
Please don't.
So sorry about that taking so long to get everything figured out. I ask that you'll bear with me a little bit during this first meeting as I kind of get into the rhythm of things. But without further ado, we can move on. So our next meeting of Students' Council is in 2 weeks and it's back in Council Chambers. And there's nothing really else for anything speaker business. So we're going to move into presentations. I know that we're going to add another one from the floor, but yes, Councillor Beasley.
Can we add one from the floor?
Yes. Can you give us an abstract quickly?
It's a presentation from Abigail Lee, who is the Indigenous Student Representative on the Augustana Students Association, just kind of on what code to win in this space.
Mm-hmm. Is there a seconder? Councillor Blondin, any opposition to this presentation? Seeing none, we'll go ahead. So, Ms. Lee, do you want the microphone?
Yeah, probably.
And you have 15 minutes.
Okay. So, good evening. Welcome to Augustana campus. Thank you for all coming down here. I know it's a little bit of a ways from where you guys normally are, but we enjoy it when you guys come down and see us, because we kind of feel left out half the time. So, I'm Abigail. So, I'm just going to give you a presentation on the space. So, from the time that the Aboriginal Students Office, now Indigenous Student Services, first opened at Augustana in 2007, there has been growth in Indigenous students with related need for more space and services to support those students. The Aboriginal Students Office began as a literal office and quickly outgrew its space. There was no student space at the time. Students began asking for more services, including a space to call their own, and soon the opportunity to create the Wet'suwet'en Lodge came in 2012 with funding from the Provost Office. The Indigenous Engagement Advisory Committee, at that time the Aboriginal Engagement Committee, brought together a working group made up of Indigenous students, elders from Muscogees and other Indigenous communities, and architects and space planners from the University of Alberta. The consultative and collaborative process, drawing from relationships established by PITRA and the Augustana Aboriginal Students Office, as well as by former Augustana Dean Dr. Roger Epp, involved many other members of the campus and communities we serve. So the committee as a whole wanted this to be a space that is welcoming to all, experiential, inclusive, and allow students from all backgrounds to be open and learn about Indigenous cultures, traditions, histories, and ways of knowing. The Wet'suwet'en Lodge offers opportunities for Indigenous students to gather with each other, the elders, and with Indigenous community members. It was created so that Métis students, Inuit students, and students from First Nations near and far have a chance to meet others who share similar background and histories. Our Indigenous students can learn from each other while they are far from home, communities, and their own languages, elders, and traditions. One of the most important aspects of the planning of this space, shared with us by the elders who were part of the community, was to bring in elements of nature to the space, as it is below ground. So we see the trees, the plants, the rocks, the water. It's mostly over on that side of the lodge. On the floor, you might notice that there's different tracks. You see a blue track over here and a green track over there. So these tracks meet at the elders' room, and they represent the journeys of otter and muskrat in the Nahiwak Plains Cree origin story, a story that can only be shared when the snow is on the ground. So if you're interested in hearing that, we normally have an elder come out when there is snow on the ground, and he comes and tells stories. So the Wet'suwet'en Lodge also represents a national diversity that exists among Indigenous peoples on this campus and in the territory. The artwork on the pillars, which you can kind of notice, proudly displayed throughout the space, features artists from neighboring Treaty 6, 7, and 8 communities, as well as from other traditional territories across Canada. So this lodge was created in the spirit of Wet'suwet'en, a Nahiwak Plains Cree concept meaning kinship. The term refers to the ties of mutuality and reciprocity that create responsibilities to other human beings and to animals, to the land and the water and the sky, that offers the basis of our lives and relationships. The incorporation of the Nahiwak language through the name and syllabics used in the lodge signature signage acknowledged the location of the University of Alberta Augustana campus on the traditional territory of the Nahiwak and our proximity to the Erminskin, Sampson, Montana, and Louisville First Nations in Muscogees. The process of leading to the creation of the Wet'suwet'en Lodge was an opportunity to strengthen our ties with these bands, as well as offering further opportunities to create bonds of friendship and respect with other nations who shared this land before its colonization, such as the Blackfoot and the Métis. So the Wet'suwet'en Lodge is home to our Indigenous Student Services, housed in the Indigenous Students Community Space, an elders' room, this adaptable classroom space, and the larger seating area under the teepee. Now you might be questioning what I just said, teepee. Yeah, if we, maybe after this meeting, you can kind of see that there's the wood and the white. If you look up at it, it kind of looks like a teepee. There's also this one center space in there where you look up and there's stars. It's quite wonderful. Great design. So these spaces all together make up the lodge and provide opportunities for all students, staff, and faculty, as well as alumni, Camrose community members, and visitors to interact with our Indigenous students and with each other. It is in its prominent location and fluid design The Wekotoan Lodge is meant to draw all students, faculty, and campus visitors. The Wekotoan Lodge also has become a space where all visitors can learn about our Indigenous cultures and participate in educational programs such as our traditional knowledge workshops, which include drum making, moccasin making, dream catcher classes, winter storytelling, blanket exercises, guest speakers, Indigenous performance art, and coming up, we're going to have a jigging workshop in November. So if you want more details and want to come down to learn some jigging, ask me. So for me, the space has actually become a prominent part of my degree here at Augustana. I chose Augustana because I loved how the Indigenous culture was right there as soon as you walked in the door. It wasn't hiding away in another building. It was right there, everybody has, interacts with it. And it has allowed me to really connect with my culture and other Indigenous students here on campus. Every month in our space, we have a meal where an elder comes out and we just enjoy good community time. We also have beading every month, which is really fun, and lots of other events that allow the Indigenous people and greater Augustana community to come and interact and learn more about the culture. Thank you.
Would you take questions at this
Yeah,
time?
I can take questions.
If anybody has any questions, please raise your placards high throughout this whole meeting because I'm going to have to like look over this thing to see you. So nice and high if you have questions.
You can move this thing.
We're going to move this thing real quick.
Just put that. There you go.
Perfect.
That way you can see a little bit better.
Hey, any questions? If there are none, then thank you again for your presentation. But we'll move on to the second one. So, yes. Okay, so Agarwal moves to allow ASA President Philip Mahiso to present on Augustana campus. Haveri Ghani, apologies. My name is Philip Mahiso and I am the ASA President for the year. As we welcome you to the campus, I would like to provide you with some information about the ASA and what it has to offer, as well as a short history of the school. I'm sure that most of you have never been to the campus, so this would be a great opportunity for me to immerse you in our culture. Is there a seconder for this? VP Brown, any opposition? Seeing none, then go ahead, Mr. Mihiso. Is that how you say that? Sorry?
No.
Okay.
Mihiso.
Mihiso.
Thank you. And a small presentation, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Let me do slides over here.
Can everyone hear me? I don't think I need the microphone, right?
Great.
Hi. So do you have the great. Hi everyone, my name is Philip. I am a second year student in the business economics program here. I'm an international student from Kenya, and I'm here to I'm representing the Augustana Students Association, and I welcome you all to this fine campus. I was informed that most of you haven't been here before.
Can you use the microphone for the people in the back?
Okay. Can you guys, would you,
they can hear me?
Okay.
Cool.
It's
just is that better?
It's okay. It's okay. All right then. So, For those of you who haven't been here, it is a 1 hour drive to get to here. It's a very nice small town, has a population size of 18,000. When the students are here, it's way more interesting. The demographic of the town is about 10,000 people above the age of 60, which doesn't really give us much of a population to have fun, but when you have 1,050 students running around here, it is a bustling, small, but fun, and exciting, I think, community. So welcome. Okay, so this is what we consist of. We have the president, VP academics, VP finance, student life and communications. as well as a bunch of representatives for the different levels of and stratas of population here at the school. We run two elections just as you do in the north. We have one in the spring and one in the fall, on the fall elections, obviously. So, you know, everyone's up to run for it as long as you have a standing GPA of, I think, what, 2.4, I believe. 2? Okay, cool. We have our weekly meetings on Wednesdays at 5:30 in our boardroom over there. Unfortunately, this is about the same time when the COFA meetings run, so I'm going to have a conversation with you guys about that. At the same time, it is open to the entire school. So we run a program of transparency whereby everyone in the school is welcome to come to our meetings because we like to have everyone in the know about everything that's going on. Being a small community, that allows us to be able to do that. But as you know, students may not be the most interested in staying after school at 5:30 because everyone has a life, right? Cool. We offer this from student unions, so thank you. We also run a used bookstore whereby students can sign their books that they've used before. So if you take that one odd class that you really want to use the textbook ever, they bring them all down, put them on consignment, and then at that point, once it's sold, you send them an email, and then they get all the good money. So it's a good resource for students who'd like to utilize and save money because books are very incredibly expensive. The DAG. So this is the similar for the Gateway. We are trying to actually push ourselves away from running this because we like it to be as transparent and as far from possible from us because we want them to run themselves, be able to write their own stories without any influence from us. I mean, we don't really say what they can write, but you know, just to make them feel to be their own newspaper and grow its independence is our goal. So within the next 2 years, it should be up and running on its own, sponsored by whoever it is that they find. But otherwise, it is our newspaper and basically, you know, the Augustana Gateway, if I could say that. Okay, so we are also, one thing we provide, which is a very important resource apparently, is a fax machine. There are not that many fax machines that are here. So whenever someone wants to fax stuff because people apparently still use a goddamn analog machine, they come on down to the office, pay $1 for, I think it's even 25 cents, this is, 25 cents for each page. And I use it for the first time 2 weeks ago. It's actually quite interesting. I wish people used it more. I'm just joking. At the same time, we offer grants and awards from the funding we get from student union. We offer grants and awards to students. And what the basic qualification for it would be is if you can prove that you or whatever it is that you're trying to apply for is going to enhance your student experience, then we have no reason as to why to deny that money from you. It ranges from $500 to $2,500 and is open to all students and any, well, obviously if you're here, so, you know. At the same time, we kind of formed the Pride Committee, I think 2 or 3 years ago. Aqua here, who usually runs the Pride Week, went kind of inactive. And so we thought it would be necessary for us to still run that as it is a very, very vital week during the school calendar. So we formed the Pride Committee, and obviously, as it says, we advocate for the LGBTQ2S+ community here at the campus. Additionally, provide support for all students with or who can classify for this. It's a really good committee. I think Pride Week this year is in February. Well, it's running in February at that time. It is our way to be able to recognize the broad student population in the device that we have here at Augustana. Can you guys actually hear me? Here at the campus. So it's a fun week. I think it's one of the best weeks we have here. So if you have a chance, and I miraculously get a car, I could drive you down and share in this marvelous, I think, celebration. So yeah. At the same time, we run a sexual violence awareness, a sexual violence awareness committee. I think it kind of describes itself in what it's for. We work with students to help advocate for sexual assault resources on campus. Additionally, we work with students to change the culture on campus by educating others. And finally, we plan and execute Sexual Assault Awareness Week, which is next week, actually. Rebecca over there is our VP Communications. She's going to be, well, she's kind of in charge of that, if I could say. She's doing a great job. Pretty much, and it is, and the same as it says, to, for us to work with students as much as possible to advocate for this, because it's necessary. Next, we have the Volunteer Corps. So this is a way for us to be able to give students a chance to, you know, gain some volunteer hours here at the campus, because, you know, it looks really good on your CV, and at the same time, it gives people some stuff to do, because when you're down here, there's not that much to do when everyone's 60 years older. But it's good, I like it. Yeah, events to look at, all these events we run for, I don't know why I'm telling you guys this, but well, this happens. We run the clubs on campus. There are existing about 20 clubs right now. Every club is well funded by us, but they do their own thing. Only thing they need to do is like put our logo there, otherwise we don't really say very much. Every club has runs autonomously and is obviously student run. They choose to have a patron or not, I believe. If not, then well, it's just all runs pretty well. And well, yeah. Okay, cool. I also promised to give you a small history on the school. So Augustana campus was founded in, earlier, I think 1905. It started as Augustana Lutheran College. It was founded obviously by the Lutherans who came to Camrose and just kind of found, you know, put the whole process through. Thereafter, the school merged in 2006 with the University of Alberta. And it changed then to obviously University of Alberta Augustana campus. The original building, other than the classroom building, was the Founders Hall. That big blue building, I don't think many of you had a chance to see it. That big blue building that sits right there, which was renovated, I think, in 2007, and now looks like it's just so futuristic within an old building. Super cool. And actually, it was, for its original...
They want a tour afterwards?
Okay, cool. I don't know how much time we'll have left, but you'll see. Anyway, it used to be sitting right by the Peter Lougheed Center, and they moved it on rollers to where it is right now. I don't know how they did that, but I think it's really cool. And we have a student population here, 10,050, sorry, with 45 faculty members. We don't have information on how many different nationalities we do here, but what I'm aware of is there are a high of 210 international students. That is the highest amount of international students that have existed here. The numbers are going up, but we need to make sure that they stay, because not many people like to stay in a town of 18,000 when you come from 10,000, well, from millions, obviously. Additionally, we're improving our efforts into advocacy in the city. So right now we're trying to formulate policies that will allow us to increase the job descriptions of one of the councillors, such that they are the ones who would represent us in city council. Because we feel like it's necessary for us to be able to put the word out there for the 1,050 students that exist here on campus. All right, then, I think that's pretty much it. Do you have any questions? Yeah.
I actually have a question about your youth book service. So last year the SU shut our subtitles down because it wasn't doing well at all. Like, we were probably getting like 2 or 3 students. So I'm curious if yours is, like, if it's successful, like, Is it successful, first of all? And if it is, how do you keep students sort of engaged?
Okay, so its popularity usually would run the first 3 weeks of school. So the first 3 weeks of school, it's literally like every 2 minutes someone's going in and out of the bookstore. It's a big rush. I think the way in which we market it is, you guys don't like to spend money. We're trying to save you money, so come on down to the bookstore and get some cheaper books. So I don't know how you guys would market yours, but I believe that pushing that, you know, you get to spend less always gives us that advantage. Yeah.
No other questions.
Yeah.
You talked earlier about the executive of the ASA. I was wondering if you could tell us who filled those specific roles. like all the VP roles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I should have probably done that. Well, okay, they're not here. VP academics, his name is Tanner Gosvick. He was actually just freshly elected. We have our VP student life is Janae Matzner. Our VP communications is Rebecca Nicholson, and our VP finance, his name is Richard Lee.
So your international student percentage is around like 20% of students are international students. Do you have any like certain programming or anything that is different, I guess, that the North Campus doesn't offer for international students because you have such a low percentage?
Okay. I'll be honest with you, the international student, well, we have an international, okay, the resources that are available are, there's an international student office that exists. It's a very, I believe it's a very interactive office such that from the time when you're leaving home, you're constantly getting emails about things that are going on, how to move about things once you get here, things to look out for when you're on the school, and then throughout the year you have constant checking in on, you know, from the office as well as the international student representative here. So I feel like, well, the fact that we're so close knit just allows us to be able to connect more with the students on a personal level, which I believe is what a lot of people would be looking into when they're leaving their homes. I mean, from how many thousands of kilometers. So I think that's our small Augustana advantage, as we call it. It's a good marketing pitch. Yeah.
Thanks so much for the presentation. So a lot of students are on other campuses, like North Campus or CSJ. What would you say is your biggest event that you hold here that other students may not necessarily be privy to?
I think the biggest event that we have three major events that we run. Fortunately or unfortunately, they're all parties, but we call them first class formal and the last class bash. It's in a hotel that's just down here. It allows for everyone to kind of get out of their school, you know, get out of the school zone and, well, get wasted a little, in depending on themes that we set. So it feels like I wouldn't call it a high school thing. It's a college bash that everyone would like to just kind of take some time out of their, you know, their schooling so that they can be able to interact with students from first year all the way to the fifth. But I think the events that I'd say a lot of the students up there will probably miss out on here are the weeks that we have at the end of every month. So we have Pride Weeks, like the Violence Awareness Week. We have the Wellness Weeks. We have, they're a bit more, the Sustainability Week, which is actually running right now. So I think that we have that as an advantage to the students over there because we can reach into everyone. And at the same time, they have very easy access to us. So it's not as difficult to provide our services, but at the same time, it's more interesting when you're just like directly there. Yeah.
Thanks so much for your presentation. I just wanted to ask, for the international students, do a lot of them move to North Campus to transfer their degree? There was just a business student I was talking to. He is going to move to North Campus next year. So do you find that there are a lot of students moving from Augustana to North Campus eventually to finish their degree?
Well, unfortunately, yes. A lot of the, especially students in the business programs, end up moving because the way the business school has been running is that you kind of have to do a full first year with the credits before you can enter the business programs up there. In addition to that, since a lot of these students are from towns, or not towns, cities that have populations of 10 million, 12 million, 7 million, they really find it hard to adjust to being in such a small area that's about the size of their high schools for most of them. So I think that aside from the fact that a lot of the courses that people want to do are there, the factor of size would be really big into them leaving. Yeah.
So we've had this conversation before at the Council of Faculty Associations, but since like I'm a member of Faculty Association, a lot of the other people here are as well, I was hoping that I could just give you an opportunity to speak on this. how can faculty associations, like especially those that don't have constituency in Augustana, engage with Augustana better and like do better at that?
That's a hard question. I think engagement is always based on how much you want to do, right? So if you really want to be able to link someone with us here, it really just takes an email. If it's not an email, it's a Facebook message. So a Facebook message by some magic, if you have my Snapchat, it is literally just that. So I believe that there's a good initiative that's being started with the faculty associations being headed by Joel. But I believe even if that fund exists, if any faculty association wanted to have a collaboration here with us, we have no reason to say no. I mean, okay, we have a lot of work, but like, if it's for the benefit of the students, we won't have a reason to say no. Otherwise, you guys will literally spot us. So, I think that the best way to be able to obviously to reach out to us is email. And at the same time, if you're interested in doing something, we don't say no. The biggest issue that always exists is we're 100 kilometers away from everyone else. So I understand the difficulty in like face-to-face conversations, but then there's always Skype, I mean, or Facebook, or Snapchat, because Snapchat is way more interesting. So, you know, yeah, I think that's a good way.
Yep. Okay, I'm about to pause. So our 15 minutes is up, but we can extend for 10, but I need 2/3 of placards to agree. So anybody want to make that motion to extend? Okay, Councillor Badesha, seconded by Governor Lee. All in favor? Hold them high because I'm back here. Okay, that's good. Yep, yeah, you're good. Keep up.
Good.
So something we're trying to get started over at North Campus is doing a student survey, trying to get demographics and stuff about all our students on campus. I was just wondering, since you are like such a tight knit community here, like, or do you do things like that? Like, do you take demographics and do you have advice for us? Or if you don't, like, how would you advise us to better represent Augustana students like, during that survey?
I see that we're so far from everyone else. Okay, first we do run a bunch of our own surveys here. So if you ever needed any information on that, we could always provide it. But if you were interested in doing those surveys yourself, that's okay. I mean, more work for you, less for me. Just to be honest with you. But yeah, I'd be very interested to see the way, the manner in which you'd like to take on searching, you know, taking on a survey here. Because I don't know if it's the same for you guys up there, but here, you really need to go to the students for them to be able to engage with you. And I don't know, it's a bit difficult. We could put out a survey today. 2 weeks from now, the whole school, 2 weeks from now, get like 50 responses. So I learned that if you want to ever find anything out, you just kind of have to seek it directly to them. Yeah.
Do you have a breakdown of the faculties that are at Augustana?
Yeah. Okay, so there exists the Faculty of Arts, the Faculty of Science, the Faculty of Humanities and Fine Arts, and that's under Humanities, and the Social Science Faculty.
Yeah. How many students are like more or less in each?
So I think, okay, the highest amount of students falls under the Faculty of Arts and the Faculty of Humanities and the Sciences. So I'd say 2/3 of the population sits within those two, and then the remaining then kind of spreads themselves out within the rest of the other faculties.
I have a bunch actually, but I'll chat later. Something that I was wondering about was when you talked about clubs, I was wondering if the implementation of the 311 has in any way changed the ways in which you do club recruitments or even just like ASA recruitment.
I'd say, you know, honestly, okay, I came into the school when the 311 already come in, so I wouldn't know the difference between the two, but I think that it's probably improved it because we can attack the first year students within the 3 week because a lot of them are always there, which increases the club recruitment rate. And then once that's done, we have another one that's during the 11 week that allows the whole population of the school to be engrossed within it. So I think it's actually been much better with them, in my opinion. I will assuming it should be much better. So yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoy your time here at the lodge. I guess no one else has any questions. So, have a good evening. I mean, I'll be here for a couple more minutes. I kind of have a class right now, but I'll be here by the time before you guys are over, because I see you have a lot of stuff to do. So good luck. Have a lovely evening. It's really great to meet all of you. Please, please, please come down as much as you can. We're not really bad people, I think. So have a lovely meeting, and thank you for letting me speak.
Okay, we're all going to move into executive committee report. Do any members of the executive wish to give a report?
Okay, order.
VP Brown.
All right. Hello, everybody. I know we didn't get to executive reports in the last council meeting, so a few things from even a while ago. Just a reminder that the Edmonton Student Alliance is doing a mixer at 6 p.m. at McEwen University on October 29th. We'll have some city councilors there. We're going to be doing a panel, and then you can ask questions and just sort of mix and mingle. So I had sent out an email a couple weeks ago to get sort of a list of RSVPs. I've had about three councilors get back to me. I'll send out a reminder, one tomorrow morning. So please just let me know if you plan on coming, because I do need to get numbers to the McEwen Student Association on that. Last week, President Bhatnagar and I met with Advanced Ed Minister Dimitrios Nikolaitis. It was a fairly productive meeting. We mostly focused on some of our priorities heading into the budget in particular. We didn't sort of go over a traditional advocacy document, because we are getting close to the budget release. So we tried to communicate our thoughts quite directly about what we would like to expect, and especially after Bill 19, things that we'd like that have happened in the last couple of years. Get out the vote is now done. I'm going to stop talking about it forever. Thank goodness. We collected over 6,000 pledges. I know some people around the table. And the Augusta Students Association were a big help in getting those numbers out. So thanks to everybody who did participate. We had a full Dewey's was full last night for the election results. So it was a great night. And thanks to all who came out. And a special shout out to the Political Science Undergraduate Association, who put on a couple of great activities. Finally, we are continuing our process of hiring an executive director for our CASA home office in Ottawa. I'll be going to Ottawa next week to interview candidates. And finally, I represented the Students Union at the Congress of the Association, basically the Franco-Canadian Association of Alberta, last week in Calgary, talking about Campus Saint-Jean issues within the greater Francophone community. I think that's all I've got. Thank you.
Any other members of the executive? VP Agarwal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I've been talking a lot about the research event. It's going to be lit. It's going to be so exciting. The research event planning committee has met. We've got a lot of things underway. It's going to be on November 21st from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. So make your way down. If you still want to volunteer and you missed the first couple of buses, there's a chance to volunteer. Just hit me up and we can do that. Myself and President Bhatnagar were able to meet the High Commissioner of India a couple weeks ago, and that was really exciting. I was able to talk about undergraduate research and interdisciplinary collaboration. So that was a really cool opportunity. Free Expression Working Group has been meeting. We've had a lot of consultation. It came to GOC for the second time. So we're getting near the deadline to get it finalized. So if any of you have any more feedback or any concerns, please reach out to me or any of the other members in the working group. Be happy to put that feedback into the document. Myself with Vice President Stats attended the ASSIST training, the suicide prevention training. It was extremely helpful. I think it was really eye-opening for myself. I would strongly recommend if you are able to or have the chance to attend. It's really helpful for sure. COFA's going really well. We're chatting about collaboration fund this week at our COFA board meetings. So if you have any ideas about that, feel free to talk to me. I'm excited to see more inter-faculty collaboration as President BSA was talking about. And finally, my shadow days are still available. If you want to sign up, you can check the email, sign up, or just email me as well, and we can work from there. Thanks a lot.
Any other members of the exec? VP Larson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the last couple of weeks have been pretty busy out of the office, but a lot of the major pieces were that a proposal for restorative initiatives was passed through to the Sexual Violence Executive Steering Committee. This proposal, called Implementing a Restorative Practices Initiative Addressing Harm in a Learning, Working, and Living Environment, it fully embraces a bunch of the different sorts of restorative justice practices that we have on campus, and it's inclusive of the Sexual Violence Prevention Coordinator. So that'll be going up through the Executive Steering Committee in the coming weeks here onto the President's Executive Committee, and hopefully looking for all things good on the green light on that. In terms of campus safety and security, the City of Edmonton has started a new crowdsourcing website called Safe City YEG that the media has taken a bit of interest to in talking about campus security as a whole. So we've had a little bit of media attention with the Just Person Show, City TV News, and CTV News. The Council of Residents Associations is finalizing its Residents Improvement Fund proposal, so that's inclusive of about $75,000 worth of upgrades to the facilities and residents. We are midway through the Students Who Parent policy, and we're working in collaboration with the Dean of Students Office to work on consultations that'll be able to have focus groups with childcare available so that we can get a good possible turnout. And then we are looking at the possibility of LGBTQ2S+ Pride and Trans Pride pedestrian crossings on campus, and the possible locations for that. So I'm working pretty closely with facilities and operations and the university architect to try and have that implemented for the spring. And then lastly, just last week, at the Residents Advisory Committee, I just thought I'd let you all know that the 11-month leases that we're offering residents are no longer going to be 11-month leases next year, and they've changed everything to be 8-month leases, exclusive of grad residents in Newton Place, because they expressed the need for 11-month leases. And now to do so, the Residents Advisory Committee has proposed a 10% increase to rent costs in those residences for the 8-month term. And we're working with them on some ulterior solutions. So a little bit more to come on that, but just to put that on your radar. That is all for me. Thank you.
Any other executive committee members? VP staff?
Well, oh, it's weird to type up a talk without a mic. So obviously we didn't give a report last week, so I'm gonna kind of jumble some of this into the conversation. The Dewey's Bash happened last week. It was absolutely fantastic, 7 hours long, quite busy the whole time. Students loved the free giveaways of prizes, drinks, and food, as well as the free music. A lot of positive feedback came out of that. We have some surveys we're just looking at right now to look at the data, but students seem to really appreciate that. Also working on the business advisory group at the moment. For any of you that are interested, that's going to be the committee that helps me in making operational decisions that are directed and guided by students to help ensure the student voice is always the center part of all of our operational decisions as much as possible. The United Way Coffee Day as well as the kickoff happened last week. Both were quite successful, and to my knowledge, the SU raised more money this year than it has in most previous years in donations for that cause, which is fantastic. Also, I've been working quite a bit on the Sustainability and Capital Fund, specifically in the realm of coming up with projects and what that might look like. And I would appreciate any ideas from council as I continue to work on that, and any of you have, or how you see that benefiting the future sustainability of the SU. And then finally is, once again, I am shadowing at the moment, so if any of you are interested in running for OSPI, please come speak to me, I'd love to have you. Oh, and the last bit is the Daily Grind. This is actually, I almost forgot to say this, the Daily Grind is probably going to have breakfast introduced in the next few months. So, surprise, coming up kind of out of nowhere, but with the removal of La Express, they've kind of removed breakfast and sub, and we want to bring that back for students. So, that's everything. Thank you.
Yeah. Right, thank you. President Batnagar.
Hello, everyone. So, here's a couple of updates additional to my original report that was given 2 weeks ago. As mentioned earlier, we've launched our shadow days. I would encourage you, even if you don't want to run for my portfolio, which is fine, to still shadow all the portfolios, because to be a strong executive, you have to understand the context in which you work. So I would encourage you to shadow any executives that you can, and if any of those dates don't work for you, just reach out to us and we'll try to set up a good shadow time for you. So we try to make it an hour of like question and answer, discussion of the job, and then we try to make it an hour of like some sort of relevant / interesting enough meeting that we would like to take you to. So just reach out to us and let us know if you have specific interest. We'd be very happy to set that up. I was able to meet with the Office of Human Rights and Safe Disclosure a few weeks ago to talk about anti-bias or unconscious bias training and equity, diversity, and inclusivity training for our students' union staff. It was something that I think is really important to pair with the EDI strategic plan that came out with the university. So I'll keep you folks updated on what that looks like. We might even do a session with council just to do it as like a test run, but also to ensure that we are like equitably making decisions at this level. The university presidential search committee is going to be seeing our first set of presidential applications on November 4th. So that'll be very exciting. And last but not least, VP Agarwal and I are going to be out of town all week next week at the Open Education 2019 conference in Phoenix. I'm going to be on two panels, and I'm super excited, with OpenStax and the Scholarly Publishing and Academic Resources Coalition, aka SPARC. They're two of the largest OER advocacy groups in the States. The first panel is talking about the affordability argument, publishers, and how there's this big drama with two publishing companies taking over 80% of the market share in the States right now. So it talks about academic freedom and how it's really important for students and professors to take control of that narrative. And the second panel talks about if open education resources actually create an inclusive environment for diverse voices, or is it that creating these free open educational resources actually disadvantages folks who are in marginalized communities who often aren't getting credit for the work they're doing. So those are the two panels, pretty spicy, but if you don't have anything, if you don't really know what I'm talking about, that's fine. If you have more questions, let me know. I do love talking about academic stuff, even though it's no longer my portfolio, rest in peace. But that is the only updates I'll have for you today, and I look forward to any questions.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to board and committee reports. Does anybody from ARC have a report? I believe there's anybody online. Okay, we'll move on. Does anybody from audit have a report? Councillor C.
So we met. We didn't meet last week because we decided to skip meeting once during midterms and finals to accommodate, you know, all the stress and all the stuff that happens with studying there. So then the last meeting, we reviewed the SUHX. And before that, because there was no time to do reports, we approved the HCA, which is HUB. And then, and so we sent the findings for the execs. I still have to look through them and things, so that will most probably be approved soon. And then we're approving the SU audit later today. So that's our report. I hope everyone is doing well.
All right, thank you. Anybody from bylaw have a report? Councillor Benicia?
So bylaw did not meet last week. That's all we have to report.
All right, thank you. Council Administration Committee. Councillor Beasley.
So I'll try to keep this short, but it's been a big cat time recently. If anybody wants to ask me questions, feel free to do so in the open forum and stuff. But we had a special meeting just over 2 weeks ago on October 4th when we discussed the by-election and the elections office. We also met 2 weeks ago and had a presentation from the CRO. For those of you who don't know, the CRO has resigned effective October 14th. I was hoping to update you at the last council meeting, but as of right now, we are without a CRO. The process for hiring a new CRO has begun, and so all of the involved actors are being mobilized in that regard, and we still have good contact with the outgoing CRO, so we should be able to ideally facilitate a good transition and good kind of like passing on the torch in that regard. Last week during the CAC meeting, so on October 8th, we invited the CRO to CAC and get a very productive discussion about like the electives, the elections office, and like how we can support the CRO and like similar positions going forward to have good elections and good by-elections. As we transition into like forward, like looking work with the CRO and with like the elections office, I would love to hear from any of you folks if you have any thoughts on like election processes or things you've noticed in the past that you want us to like take a look at, because I think we're considering potentially doing some different stuff to see if we can help support the CRO in the best ways possible. So a number of you have already reached out to me, and if more of you have things as well that you'd like to pass on, I would love to continue just like getting a good degree of like knowledge about what people think about elections and how we can do elections best. As well, on October 8th, we had a presentation from Kristen Stoic. So Kristen Stoic, is the new administrative assistant to council. So where Rebecca Taylor has now been moved more into a role where she supports predominantly faculty associations, which in and of itself is a very large job because we have many faculty associations. Kristen Stoic is now helping out with like council. She is great. If you get a chance to see her, yeah, she is great. Also, at the last meeting, we funded the ARC recommendation rollout for an additional $400 above and beyond the $3,000 that we originally promised. Finally, as well, CAC has been provided some votes for coffee and for additional jackets for the things, like for the new counselors elected after the by-election. So these quotes will help us make an informed decision about whether we want to like have coffee meetings or whether we want to provide jackets to the new counselors. But look forward to discussion about that at the next CAC meeting. Yeah. So that was, yeah, we've had, it's been a little bit, so if anybody has any questions at all about any of those things or anything else, feel free to ask me. We'll be meeting again in 2 weeks' time in the hour before council listing council chambers.
All right, thank you. Someone from executive committee? President Battinger.
Hi, folks. So executive committee is going on a day-long retreat on Friday to discuss a bunch of changes, actually. A lot of them were organizational discussions that I would love to talk about in close if there's time today. I feel like there won't be. But another discussion we're going to be having is hopefully regarding budget rollout, seeing as though that's happening on Thursday. I have a feeling that it'll be top of mind for everybody. So hopefully we can skirt through the agenda so that we have some time to talk at the end. And then the last thing that we're sort of doing is we're talking about restructuring of our elections office and such, very similarly to what Chris was talking, or Councillor Beasy was talking about earlier. So please give your thoughts to Councillor Beasy. We're meeting in a few weeks anyways to discuss this further. But executive committee has just been sort of meeting on an ad hoc basis because we've been very busy lately. Our next meeting won't be for another week and a half. As again, VP Agarwal and I are out of town for a while, and VP Brown's also out of town for a while, so I think we're meeting again in like 2 weeks. But if you look at our job shadow days, you can shadow us and come to an exec committee meeting. They're quite fun.
All right, thank you. Someone from Finance Committee, VP Stats.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee has been a couple times since the last time I reported. We have approved Aboriginal Students Council's VFU for the year, as well as Campus Food Bank's VFU. So at this point, we're just waiting for any other dedicated students to get us their budgets so we can go ahead and approve those as well. That's all I have to report.
All right, thank you. I have the update from Councillor Chen for the nominating committee, so I'll read that to you. We have not had meetings in the last 2 weeks. We have received requests for members at large from the Sustainable Committee. We've communicated with Rebecca to post those messages online. We will wait for applications at this time. All right, anybody from Policy Committee have a report? Councillor Bargasalda.
Policy Committee met last week. Since we didn't have any updates on the renewal policy, since we're doing that today, that got tabled, we just started talking about some of the new policies that we'll start working on once our policies are renewed. If I get head nods from all the policy members, I will tell people what those are. So a bit of a spoiler alert, I don't have to do it if some people are like head shake. We can. Yeah, or, okay. Is that cool?
Beans.
Huh?
Just do it. Just pull
yeah.
it.
Now okay, let's do it. Okay, drum roll for some of the new policies. Okay, so we're going to attempt to create a voluntary student unionism policy, an open educational resource policy, freedom of expression policy, students with dependents, that's kind of changed from students with parent policy, experiential learning policy, an Augustana campus policy, a climate change policy, an updated expansion of the residence policy, likewise for quality of instruction policy, and a student homelessness policy. So it's a lot of policies. Our hopes is that we can get through as many of them as possible this year. I'm really, really excited. If any of you have any thoughts on any of these, please, please, please reach out, and I can get you in contact with the team leads on those specifically. Rest of the update is for the new counselor specifically. Today we are working through three different policies. So the way in which that usually works is that we'll have the first principles for a policy and the second principles for a policy. You can't vote or technically make the second principles for a policy until they've been voted on until the first principles of a policy have passed the council. So some of the policies that you're going to see today are the first principles, which means these are the facts. These are kind of like the things that we say to be true about the specific issue. And then the second reading is kind of the resolution. So like, what are we doing about it? How do we think that the Students' Union should advocate? It's all political policy. There's political and operational policy. The policy committee actually only has a say over political policy, not operational policy. But two of the policies today will be, I believe, second readings, which means that once, if they go through, that will be like the renewed new policy. And one of the policies, the first principles, which means that if that goes through, then expect the second readings for that policy in hopefully 2 weeks, going through with the resolutions. Policy can be a little bit confusing until you like actually start working with it. Then it like makes a lot of sense. So if you have any questions on that process, please let me know during the question period.
I worry that I may have been bamboozled. I mean, how long do you all have for?
2 minutes, Mr. Speaker.
I was told by former Speaker Patches that 4 minutes was everything. So I was lied to. Anyway, we'll move on. Now you have 2 minutes, so you played yourself. Okay. Student Group Committee, anybody have a report? Oh, all right. Translation Committee, report?
That's not met.
Okay. Board of Governors, report?
Yes,
go for it, Governor Lee.
So thanks, Mr. Speaker. The Board of Governors met last Friday, which was mostly just a closed discussion, but we did approve a new set of tuition fees for incoming international students in specific programs next year. To be clear, it's not a tuition increase. It is the rates that incoming international students will pay in a coming year for their cohort. Myself and President Bhatnagar voted in favor of those rates. We felt that consultation had been appropriate. As for things that are generally going on the board, I've been meeting with board members to talk about the McKinnon report and student priorities with respect to that, making sure that we're not unfairly discriminated against in how the university may have to rearrange its budget. For board live streaming, I'm going to be bringing a motion to the governance committee on November 27th. So as of November 27th, we will know whether that's moving forward or not. And also, during my campaign, I promised that I would take this year's Thrive cohort to some Board of Governors meetings and hopefully introduce them to some board members. So that's well in progress, and I will hopefully be bringing them to a Board of Governors meeting in the next couple months and introducing them to some of our board members at a little meeting group. So yeah, I hope your midterms are all going well.
All right, thank you. We'll move into open forum. I cannot see a single person who is back there. But if anybody who's not, pardon? Oh yeah, I missed. Does anybody have any other committee reports they'd like to make first? No? Okay, so I'll move into open forum. If anybody has any questions from people who are not on council, please just raise your hand and we can facilitate that. Yes, committee Wayne.
This question is for VP Student Life. So the Dean of Students released numbers that Safe House saw a large increase in usage this year, and the increase, the nights that students are able to stay have also increased. Just wanted to see if the Students' Union is doing anything to see why these numbers are increasing.
Thank you for the question, and I'm going to have to follow back with you on a little bit more information after I talk with the Dean of Students about that. To be honest, it hadn't really been something that had come to my plate yet.
All right. Any more questions you have now? Yes.
Hopefully this is the time we're supposed to ask this, but I'm sure all of you know Augustana doesn't have a counselor right now on this. How do we go about getting one? What is the process? Who do I talk to?
Do you have anybody in mind you'd like to ask the question to? Maybe the president, maybe?
No, I knew who directed to, probably the president or
okay, VP Agarwal.
Yeah, so we're actually in the process of working with nominating committee as well as Discover Governance to get a call for applications for students who may want to be on council to fill the vacancies. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll get an application out, and I'll be in contact with all the FAs to make sure that we get those seats filled. So yeah, we just keep your eyes out for anyone.
Perfect, thank you.
Gateway.
This question goes to the chair of CAD. Just wondering if any of the CRO's recommendations that were presented in his report are being considered?
So we're definitely considering all of them. The CRO knows the position of the CRO better than anybody else because they were the CRO. So like we certainly took them like quite seriously, and like CAT has already talked its way through all of the recommendations. ultimately I can't comment too much on what we want to do going forward because we're still figuring it out. Like myself and President Bhatnagar are going to be meeting shortly to discuss future steps. But certainly like everything that the CRO was so kind of provide to us in terms of like recommendations, we've definitely keep them something out.
Right, any further questions? Yes.
My question is to the Board of Governors representative. What is the new rate on tuition and will it affect students, international students that are transferring into the new program?
Thanks for the question. So the rates are for a bunch of different programs and I will send them to you, but I can't remember them all off the top of my head. There's like 12 or 15 new rates for different programs. I'll send them to you. I believe most of them probably won't impact Augustana because they're for specific professional programs like the Master's in Dental Surgery, for example, which are highly specific to North Campus. But I'll get back to you about that. And for students that are transferring, the process for that is probably going to be that students who transfer into a new program will pay like tuition that is similar to the rates of like the program that we transferred into, right? So like our President Bhatnagar might like to add something, but when you transfer, you don't keep the plan for your previous degree, you move into one that's more like the price of your new degree, but I'll give you more detailed answer later.
All right, any other questions?
Can you defer the rest of your speaking time?
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. To clarify, if you're currently an international student, you will stick no matter what whatever program you transfer to, it doesn't matter. You'll be stuck with the tuition that you, like, whatever unguaranteed there will be. So if it fluctuates, it fluctuates. Any new student starting in 2020, we put into a new cohort, and then that cohort is locked into a price. And then what Governor Lee was saying is that if you switch from 2020, like in the 2020 cohort to a new cohort, you get a new guarantee. But currently, if a student from Augustana were to transfer to North Campus to Augustana, CSJ, whatever, you're still going to be stuck in that unpredictable model because we're only putting the new students in fall 2020 into this brand new cohort system as per regulations in Bill 19.
All right, thank you. Any more questions from guests? All right, seeing none, we'll move into question period. So how this will work, if you just want to raise your placard and I can write your name down, that way I'll just have a list. And then once I kind of like nod at you, you're good to go. So anybody want to ask a question? Councillor Badesha.
My question is for Vice President Agarwal. Do you say you met with the High Commissioner of India? Why did you
meet with him? VP Agarwal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thanks for the question, Councilor Vidya. This was actually a really, really, really neat opportunity. This was the High Commissioner of India to Canada. So President Bhatnagar and myself were invited to speak, to be a part of this roundtable where the High Commissioner actually was in Edmonton for a day, I think, for a conference. So he met with a bunch of deans and a bunch of faculty and staff and students who were in some way connected with India and relations with India. In order to strengthen some of the ties that the University of Alberta has with India, so we have a lot of profs that are from IIT schools in India, and they come to the UA to study and to do research. I can defer some of the rest of my time to them back up.
India students from India are the second highest population after the Chinese students, and so the U of A is looking to directly create a research relationship with India. So like agriculture was huge, artificial intelligence, and there's one more research priority, but those are the medical research. And so those are the only like the big reasons that the U of A has that connection. And so it was pretty cool for us to be there, but it was specifically to like further develop like a research relationship. And it was with the University of Alberta International Office.
So I think by 2030, I believe, or 2020, India is gonna be the third largest economy in the world. Trying to build stronger ties in terms of research and innovation. So it was pretty cool. We had tandoori chicken as well.
All right, thank you. Any more questions? Remember, Councillor C.
I have a question for President Bhatnagar. That sounded like a really interesting report. And so you and VP Agarwal are going to Phoenix, the States, to like work on this problem about open ed and how there's like so much control. From two like companies who are controlling like the open ed resources. Is this like only happening in the States, or do you think this would
And do you think this would ever happen in Canada, or is this only in the States?
President Vatniker.
So the conference is like a 10,000 people conference. So VPI Agrawal and I are going, but we're sitting on, we're doing different sort of like streams and stuff. But the problem that we're talking about is the McGraw Cengage merger of two publishing companies. It is really focused in the States, but people have had books from like Pearson. Pearson is a company of McGraw, and Cengage is another company. So they're huge. They're two really large publishing companies that publish all the textbooks for K-12, a lot of textbooks for post-secondary, and they're pushing to merge into one company, which means like together they're going to own literally 80% of the publishing market in the States. That's a problem because one company is controlling 80% of a market, which is insane. And so a lot of these big open education advocates, even like big libraries, publishing companies, have written letters to Congress to try to stop the publishing merger. It's 100% going to happen though. So it is kind of a big like big loss for the open education community, because when two publishing companies own 80% of the market share, it's almost impossible for people who are doing open licensing research to get their publications published, because now the market share is 20%, this third small publishing company, and like 1% the OER community. So the conference wasn't supposed to be focused on this merger, but it probably likely will be. And actually, the opening keynote had a publishing company on it, and they've canceled the entire panel because of the drama that was occurring with these two companies merging. So it is pretty contentious, but the problem is that it probably will impact Canadian publishing companies, because so many of those companies ship up to Canada. I don't know the direct impacts on U of A or the direct numbers, but our library staff are pretty engaged in the conversation. I would say though, like, I don't think we'll see an impact for 4 to 5 years on the market share, but like I wouldn't be surprised, and this goes down to like your fundamental ideas of academic freedom, is like those conversations with 80% of people owning the same mind, for example, like they're always gonna be publishing what they believe is truth. And if you look at academic freedom, like what is truth, who defines truth? And if 80% of the people are speaking one truth, then like arguments like the climate crisis, arguments like indigenous rights, arguments like marginalized communities are always going to be left out because they don't make up that large market share.
Yes, thank you, President Vatniker. If there's more information, I'm sure she would take another question. Are there more questions? Councillor Badesha.
My question is for Vice President Weston. So you know, you're talking about the contracts are going to be going down from 11 months to 8 months. So you said they would increase by 10% their rent. I thought it was their monthly rent would increase by 10%, and then the total rent would decrease by 44%.
Yeah, so, well, thank you for the question. In the way that it was broken down at the Residence Advisory Committee, the overall cost of the rent for an 11-month period would be decreased by 24% if they increased rent by 10% but adjusted it to 8 months. Now, the month-by-month price would increase by 10%. And what this means is that, like, essentially, in the grand picture, it looks good. But on a month-by-month basis, it does get a little bit more expensive. And typically, the residents in those 11-month leases will either sublet or break their lease early anyways and make that negotiation with resident services. So from a ground level, the feedback that I've been hearing from residents is that they aren't necessarily happy with the 10% proposed increase. And what we're doing with resident services, working with both the VP of Ancillary Services and the Associate Dean of Students for Residents, is looking at ulterior solutions and potentially looking at a much lower increase across the board for all of residents, rather than isolating 5 residences to be exposed to a 10% increase. And the main argument on that basis is the elasticity of demand in East Campus is much higher than it is in Lister, and it's going to be harder to maintain the occupancy management ratios in East Campus if they're to increase the rent like that.
All right, thank you. Any more questions from councillors? Councillor Vargas-Alba.
This is for VP Brown. So as you may know, there was an election yesterday, and the results led to a minority government, which likely means that in the case that we aren't expected to go to the polls again in the next year or 2 years, fingers crossed, the chance of a minority government means that there's a lot of chances for like deep advocacy. So I was wondering if in the near future, if CASA has any type of advocacy goals when it comes to a lot of the promises regarding post-secondary that were made by some of the parties, for example, promises around student debt, or just around like
like student funding in the first place. Is there any advocacy plan for the near future when it comes to like putting pressure on the minority government?
BP Brown.
Thank you, and that's a fantastic question. There are a few things that are happening now. So CASA did platform consultations with all the parties before the election. A few pieces of, for example, the Liberal Party platform came from recommendations from us. A couple of parts of the Conservative Party platform came from us. So we have a lot of solid relationships built with a lot of these parties that we can now that things are done and we know sort of how things are going to turn out, we can get back into a lot more direct engagement with those representatives. At the end of November, CASA's membership is going to meet in Vancouver for our policy strategy conference, where we're going to determine our national priorities, which we will be taking into our February Advocacy Week on Parliament Hill. That's where we meet with 150 members of Parliament and senators, and where we push a lot of those messages ahead of the federal budget, which gets announced in roughly late March, maybe April, depending on sort of this new timeline because of the election. So there is a lot that we're doing, and a lot of our focus is going to be thrown into those 5 days in February, but our home office is already going to be doing a lot of direct reach out with a lot of these parties, especially a lot of the new MLAs, or MPs rather, who might not necessarily be familiar with CASA, to start that relationship building as soon as possible.
All right, thank you. Any more questions? Councillor Barksella.
Just to follow up on that. So given that CASA has already started setting some of the goals and like already has some of the goals, regardless of future meetings, I was wondering what some of the possible victories or wins might look like when it comes to advocacy going forward for the next few months.
Great, BT Brown.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, it's been really interesting to look at all of the different party platforms, because there's a wide variety of ideas in, like you mentioned, everything from debt forgiveness to student financial aid to grants on work integrated learning, and there's a really large breadth of things we have to focus on now. And basically what we've been trying to do, especially our office in Ottawa has been really hard on this, working hard on this. It has been sort of just comparing what has been in various party platforms with what is existing CASA political policy, and where do we see that overlap, so that we can put a little bit more emphasis on those things. So I would love to see in the spring budget, for example, greater increases to things like student financial aid, greater investments in things like work integrated learning, or health transfers for mental health funds between the provinces and the federal government, and those sorts of things. I think we have a very interesting opportunity with this new minority government to be put in a really unique position to push some of our asks. So I really have my fingers crossed. I've got a lot of hope for what we could see in the next federal budget when that comes out.
All right, thank you. Any more questions from councillors? Yes, Councillor Gutierrez.
I was surprised with that regard. But when you were talking about like the Office of Human Rights and Safe Disclosure, like I was curious to hear more about like the training that you're talking about, like what levers they were trying to implement it in. Besides just like, I guess you said, like we test run it from the council first.
All right, President Battinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the sort of training that we're looking at is pretty high level for our managerial staff at the Students' Union. It was something that I ran on as president because I feel like our organization can be more reflective / like truly inclusive of people. And I know like there's been a lot of feedback from our volunteer staff, so the staff at the lowest level of our organization, saying that the managerial staff don't necessarily understand some of the things that our volunteers have to go through or in their personal lives. And so just to make them more aware of like situational awareness, or like understanding that students come from really diverse backgrounds, we're hoping for that training to be like pretty high level for them. In terms of the training that we would potentially provide to counselors, I framed it in more of like a how can we make equitable decisions. So when we're making decisions, like whose voices are not being like met at the table, because sometimes we have a group that's not representative of council, right? Whether that's a lack of international students, whether that's a lack of LGBTQ students, there's a lot of diversity like things that necessarily you don't see on people's faces. And so that was kind of the training that we're looking at for that. And then the third sort of series of training was working with our HR manager to talk about like unconscious bias training. So when you're doing hiring, like what sort of best practices are there for hiring and recruitment of folks who are from really diverse backgrounds and what that looks like at an operational level. We haven't really come to a consensus on what training we would need for that specifically, but the top three are definitely like managerial staff, representative, student associations, and decision making, and then the third is definitely recruitment and hiring.
All right, thank you. Any more questions? Seeing none, I'm gonna break my back sitting up like this. We're gonna move on to board and committee business. Beasley moves on behalf of the Council Administration Committee to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Council Administration Committee. Is there a seconder for this? Councillor Vargas Alba. Councillor Beasley, do you want to introduce? Go for it.
So hello all. So the Council Administration Committee recently had a resignation of a permanent member. I believe I flagged this like 6 weeks ago. It's taken a little while to get to this point. But now we're looking to fill that. So just to give a little rundown of what CAC and the Council Administration is, or the Council Administration Committee is, for those who are new in the by-election, CAC is the body responsible for the rules that bind council, while like bylaw is the one responsible for the rules that bind the students' union, more so. So we make changes to standing orders, which govern like the order of events, the seats on council, the times for speaking, stuff like that. We also do work in a supporting role. We got council jackets for everybody. We got vegetarian catering. We got the musical dish program. And finally, we're responsible for like council outreach. So most notably, we were there for Kalau and for the Week of Welcome as well. So we meet on council Tuesdays for the hour right before council, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Bi-weekly. So if you're gonna be in the building or in the area already, ideally, it's a good time. The other important thing to note is that everybody's already a member of CAC. So even if you aren't one of the five permanent members, all members of council are still members of CAC and are still voting members of CAC. So if I haven't invited you already, please come down to as many CAC meetings as possible, because we love having that extra kind of input. We love having those extra kinds of conversations, right? And so if you want to get more involved with CAC, but maybe you don't win this nomination, or you don't get like put in it today, continue to come around, continue to have a good time. And yeah. That's what CAC is, and we're looking to see if we can fill a spot now.
All right, thank you. President Bathigar?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Blondin as for his application that was submitted last meeting but is somehow missing from this agenda.
It's at the bottom.
Just kidding, I have the wrong one open.
I have the wrong one open also.
There was a new one that was sent out today, I just remembered. Anyways, that is someone nominations.
All right. I have a question for y'all. So I haven't been on council since y'all changed the nomination procedure. Is it any different than last year? Really?
You're allowed to do pre-submissions to sit on a committee. That's pretty much the largest change that has to be.
And is it still the 1 minute speech afterwards? Okay, thank you.
If there's competition.
Okay, any further nominations? And once, and twice. Sold. All right, thank you for bearing with me on that. We'll move on. Sunday moves on behalf of Council Administration Committee to form the Structural Composition Task Force. Is there a seconder to this? President Bhatnagar?
I have a point of parliamentary inquiry as well, Mr. Speaker. Can somebody motion something if they're not present?
When I was on council, you could. But I don't know, have you been doing that this year?
Sir.
Okay, I'm going to say, does anybody know what this is and is able to introduce it? Okay, new plan. So Beasley moves. Is there a seconder on the motion? All right, President Bhatnagar. So Councillor Beasley, if you want to introduce this.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of me for the next little bit. I want to apologize in advance. So the Task Force on Structural Representation is ideally going to be struck by CAC today. To examine the overall structure of Students' Council. So in particular, in pursuant to the ARC recommendations, the examination will include a comprehensive review of governance models at other like post-secondary institutions across Canada to see how they do their governance processes and how we can learn from that. Additionally, we're looking to create an informal consultation group whose membership shall include historically underrepresented communities. Because the task force shall engage in like a respectful and ongoing dialogue with this consultation group so that it can draw wisdom and so that it can learn stuff from that consultation group and have that group there in the conversations, right? We're also looking to present a final report when the task force is struck, approved by this consultation group, and we hope to engage with current and past members of Students Council in this process. The mandate and stuff like that, if you want to see it, it's all up in the agenda. But basically, the end goal is to see what council structure should look like, specifically in regards to potentially like creating seats for underrepresented groups on council, so that we can make sure that voices are always included at the table. We know that the structure that we exist in right now signals to people that they may not be wanted at council, or signals to people that they may not be wanted in public-facing spaces, or in spaces like these where they are part of some of the largest conversations that affect students. We know that this university and this council exists in a world outside of us, and a world that's full of a lot of shittiness, and a lot of like shitty signals to people as well that they shouldn't be putting their names forward, that they shouldn't be putting their names out there. For me, I think this is something particularly valuable and something that I think that I know that I'm gonna be voting for. Because this is a way that we as council can signal to people that we want their voices at their table, and that moreover that we need their voices at the table, and that we need this representation. We know that our decision-making processes, the bills and the things that we like make in council, get better when we have voices from a diverse background and voices from all the corners of the campus community. This task force will be able to look at the structure of council to be able to determine which voices we haven't been included, which voices we need to include more going forward, and what more we can do. And so for those reasons, like, I hope to look forward to a future in which someone can like look at the seats that are available on campus and see one that actually like reflects their identity, that reflects their lived experience, and they can say, oh shit, someone wants me in this governance space, someone wants me to have part of these kinds of conversations and to signal in a way that so often the rest of the world doesn't. And so for that reason, CAP is bringing forth the following document on the creation of the task force and structure representation.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Beasley. So I was being looked at. How long do you all have to speak during this part of the debate? Yeah, President Bhatnagar.
1 minute to introduce your motions, 2 minutes speaking time to talk about reports, and 4 minutes during debate.
Okay, the 4 minutes is what I was, I think, told. Also, Robin's listening right now, so you can say hello if you want to. Anyway, we'll move on to, okay, thank you for your introduction. So we'll move on to debate. So if anybody has anything to debate or say, then if you want to raise your placard, I can look at you also and I can write you down so you can have a list, but Councillor Vargas Alba.
Can I call to question?
It is out of order. You're supposed to have someone talk against it and then for it, but even if like, you want some, yeah, someone to talk for a little bit and then we can call the question. Also that. Okay, does anybody have anything to say? Yeah, it's the speakers list.
Does someone have to say something?
No.
Oh.
Oh. Sorry! If you want to.
I love talking.
Alright, so that then we will vote. Do you all care if it's not secret? Are you okay voting publicly?
Yes.
Okay. Then, so I'll read it again. So Beasley and Bhatnagar move on behalf of the Council Administration Committee to form the Structural Composition Task Force. All in favor? Any opposed? And any abstentions? None. Motion carries. I hit this. All right. Okay, Beasley moves to appoint one member of the Executive Committee to the Structural Task Force. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Marcus Alba, Councillor Beasley, do you want to introduce?
Yep.
You have a minute this time, sorry.
it's me, I guess. So one of the end goals of this ID League will be like increasing the executive representation of this sort of underrepresented groups. Most of the executives come from council. It was down to reason that when we do stuff like this, that we're also ideally providing pathways to executive positions. To that end, the people who know the executive positions best are the executives. And so ideally we're hoping to get an executive member on the task force.
All right, thank you. Are there any nominations for this? VP Brown.
I'd like to nominate President Bhatnagar.
Do you accept?
Yeah.
All right. Any other nominations? Okay, and sold to President Bhatnagar. Moving on, Beasley moves.
point of information.
Yeah.
I moved to appoint someone from bylaw onto the same task force later on in the thing. Can I move that up before we do the three members from general counsel?
Yeah, I can. I should like to special order it for you.
Yeah, just that I think that's a little bit easier. I didn't submit it in that order. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. So let's get down to. I don't know where I went. Is it not on here, Chris?
Oh, it's right at the bottom. Oh, it's not on that version.
You're looking at the wrong version, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beasley moves to appoint one member of the bylaw committee to the structural composition task force.
Okay. Y'all heard the motion. Is there a seconder? Councilor Vargas Alba. Okay, Councilor Beasley, do you want to introduce your motion and maybe talk about who's qualified or who's on bylaw and they can do this?
So the reason why CAC was hoping we could get a bylaw member specifically is because as this is going to deal with a lot of the structures of council and the students union in general, we thought it would be valuable to have someone on the committee that deals with that kind of stuff. I'm not 100% sure who's on bylaw, but maybe if folks could like
raise their hands.
Yeah, raise their hands. That'd be helpful. So Councillor Draper, Councillor Dixon, VP Stat, Councillor Benatia, and Councillor Esmail.
Stephanie is also on it.
Councilor McKenzie, I also raised my hand. I am not on it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Any nominations for those people? Councilor Vargasella.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Benatia.
To accept.
Councilor Dixon.
Can I nominate Councilor McKenzie?
You'd have to like show. No, you'd have to like show me proof that she was down to go with it. Any other nominations? With none, Councillor Badesha gets it. Okay. Beasley moves to appoint three members of Students' Council who are not members of the Executive Committee to the Structural Composition Task Force as their seconder. Councillor Kidd. Councillor Beasley, go for it.
Hi, I've been moving a lot lately. So we're looking for three more members for the task force and structural representation, specifically excluding exec, just because we're looking for ideally more council representation, but we still obviously think your voices are valuable, vis-a-vis the one executive committee spot. Yeah.
All right, are there any nominations for members of council who are not exec? Councillor Vargas Alba.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Sunday.
He is not here.
He's on the live stream.
No.
Usually on the live stream.
The only people on the live stream are Councillor Jamaluddin and Robin Patches. But any other nominations? VP Larson.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Isaac.
Councillor Isaac, do you accept?
I respectfully.
All right, VP Batnagar.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Dillon.
I call you VP Batnagar. Sorry, President Batnagar.
Sorry,
that's my fault. Councillor. Pardon? I said VP Batnagar, actually.
Okay,
my fault.
Dillon? Councillor Dillon?
Do you accept? All right. Other nominations, VP Agarwal.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Kidd.
Councillor Kidd?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
All right.
Sorry.
That was good. Councillor Fredacia.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Vargas Alba.
Councillor Vargas Alba.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Councillor Vargas Alba.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Batiki.
Do you accept?
Yes, I do.
For sure. Any other nominations? Councillor Badesha?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Gutierrez.
Councillor Gutierrez?
I'll accept.
There are four people right now. Councillor. All right, Councillor Dillon is gone. Councillor C?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Blondin.
Councillor Blondin?
I'll accept.
Accept. Sorry, I'm trying to write this down.
I'd like to respectfully decline.
All right, Councillor Kidd is gone. VP Agarwal?
I'd like to nominate Councillor
Agarwal.
I would decline, please.
All right.
But you're not going to.
Any other nominations?
Actually, I want to be on this. Wait, can I? Sorry, I normally wouldn't, but.
Okay, President Batnagar.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Kidd.
Yes!
Okay,
sorry.
You're back. But I'm moving you to the. Okay. Any other nominations? Seeing none. Okay, no more. So we're going to do a minute speech, and then I will
give you some ballots, and then we'll, like, you're supposed to take a break after this. We'll take maybe 15 minutes unless you don't want to, and then we can take a shorter one. But we'll get there. So, a minute. starting with Councillor Boticky. Yeah. So, all right, 1 minute speeches. Councillor Boticky, order, please. Go for it.
I would like to be on this council because I think it's very important to have a body that represents all students. I think when you're just saying that you're part of this faculty, so you must sort of hold similar beliefs or same beliefs as all of them, that can get a little daunting for students, especially in some of the really large faculties. So I would like to work with this committee to try and make sure everyone feels like their voices are heard and feel like they can join council. And as someone who is new to council, I feel as though I could add a perspective that is different than some of those who have sort of been on council for quite a while and might not notice something just because they're so used to it, that sort of thing.
All right, thank you. Councillor Gutierrez, you have a minute.
I think these are really important conversations. I think there's like a lot of like structures outside of council, just from talking to students, that like I think that becoming counselor like takes a certain kind of student, and makes a lot of students feel like they're not really eligible or like qualified to be on council, which isn't accurate because any student is qualified to represent other students. So I think it's like a really interesting conversation. And to reiterate what Councillor Boticky said, it's like really good to have people that aren't really like in the council world to kind of be able to come in here and like be comfortable saying their opinions and like adding fresh ideas.
Hey, Councillor Blondin, you have 1 minute.
Okay, well, thank you for the nominations. I must admit, I'm not completely familiar with the task force. But basically, from the preamble, I can tell that this is a, or, basically like minority. But if it's a chance for me to further improve and better protect Indigenous students, especially for me, the Indigenous students at U of A, then I'm all for it. And I apologize, I was more prepared for standing against someone for CAC, but. Need to do that. So, but if elected, I'll commit to being more in-depth. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And Councillor Kidd, you have a minute.
All right, so I think it's pretty well known. I had no clue what council was when I first got on council. I only ran because I was very mad about things, and then I got here and I kept saying I was stupid before I started talking. Because I was so scared about everything in council. I literally had to like have people tell me to stop saying that I'm dumb before I talked. So I feel like I know how scary council is and how unwelcoming it can be, how stressful it can be as a new counselor, especially when you're there because you want to make a tangible change for your elected representatives. And I would love to be a part of the committee that helps change that. I want more people like me who are mad about things and want to change things on council, but it is scary being here. I still get scared. That's why I do this a lot, I think. And I want to help people not feel like me so that we can have more people from diverse backgrounds and diverse viewpoints come to council. So, and I mean this so nicely to my arts friends, it's not a bunch of arts people trying to be politicians, okay? That is my speech.
Thank you, Councillor Kidd. All right, so we're going to go through this process. I'm going to hand out sheets, and then we're going to take 15, unless there is someone telling me to not take 15 minutes.
5 minutes.
Someone needs to nominate it. Councillor Hadouche.
Can I change adding orders for a recess today to 5 minutes?
Yes. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Badesha. And then it's a two-thirds majority, so all in favor? That is two-thirds, so we are breaking for 5 minutes.
Point of information.
Yes.
Just because there's a lot
Wait,
of new...
Wait, sorry. It can interrupt. We have to do roll call.
We do, thank you.
Are we voting?
We just voted.
No, we just voted.
Yes, so I'm going to hand out paper.
But did we just
Okay, let me explain real quick. So we just moved to a men's standing order. So instead of having a 15-minute break, it'd be 5, because I also need to get these ballots in. So I'm just going to give you these. You're going to write down your preferences, and I'll tally them up in 5 minutes. This is your break. And then we'll come back and we'll power through the rest. But there was a point of order.
Point of information. Just before the break, I was wondering if it'd be possible for every counselor to go around, because there's new counselors, to say the proper pronunciation of their last names.
Yes.
So everyone knows.
I feel it.
Yeah, whatever you do.
Okay.
During roll call, so okay. Instead of here, just say how you say your last name.
So everyone, okay, stay seated and I will do attendance.
Are we voting?
No, we already voted. Okay, we're doing it. Attendance and then we'll vote. Okay, I'm not going to hold the mic. President Bhatt Nagar.
Bhatt Nagar is correct.
Okay, VP Agarwal.
Agarwal is correct.
VP Brune.
It's Brown.
Oh, sorry. VP Stat. Pardon? Okay, sorry. VP Larson.
Here.
VP Lay.
It's Governor Lee.
I said, yes. Oh, it's Governor Lee. I said Luke. I said Stat.
Yeah, I said Stat. It's also Stat, not Stat.
I said, okay. Counselor McKenzie.
Still here.
Counselor Conrad.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it.
Counselor Vargas Alba.
Technically, it's Vargas Alba, but you can do Vargas Alba, that's fine.
Okay, the chair appreciates it. Counselor Beasley.
Yep.
Counselor Chen.
She's not here.
Counselor Dixon.
Yeah, that's
fine. Counselor, or proxy for Counselor Draper.
Yeah, that's right.
Counselor Isaac.
Here.
Counselor Esmail.
Yeah.
Counselor Maranakis. Counselor Kidd.
Yeah.
Counselor C.
Yeah.
Counselor Adwan. Counselor Bose. Okay, order while we get this done. Counselor Boticki.
Boticki.
Yes. Let me get that. Counselor Harris. Counselor Sunday. Counselor Nguyen.
Is that Win?
I don't know. Also, okay, Counselor Blondin.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Counselor Hadoosh.
Say it like you're not supposed to.
What?
I said you say it like you're not supposed to.
Apology. Yeah. Okay. Counselor Videsha.
It is Videsha.
Okay, order. We're almost done. Counselor Dillon.
Yeah.
Counselor Gutierrez. Counselor Jamaluddin is in the live stream. And Counselor Syed. She is not here. I am here. And the general manager is not. Okay, so we're recessing for 5 minutes. Please vote.
If you need a pen, I have lots.
Please write four names or four names and then leave out.
I'm just putting them over here.
Robert, I'm putting mine here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caught me off guard, okay?
Yeah, for sure. I'll bring it over to you.
Absolutely. Hey, Donnie Ma,
okay,
give me your ballots when you're done. I need to count them. It's only 5 minutes.
Yeah, it really is like.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you.
Alright, if you have ballots, please come give them to me. Bring out your ballots. Bring out your ballots.
Counselor VP Brew, here we go.
MVP Taz.
Taz is too.
Nice. Any more? Bring them up.
Yes.
Yes.
You pronounced my last name wrong. Bill Axe.
I know the feeling. My last name is pronounced wrong every day.
I don't give a shit.
Every single Wednesday.
There you go, I gotta count.
No.
I think you should just start calling it
properly. That way we're all putting the same stuff in the same place.
Is he a McFlurry?
Oh, that was the one I got here.
Oh. Anyway,
you know, this is supposed to be a secret ballot.
Oh. I'm not looking.
All right, I love this people. It's good because I understand the students. So, however, I think the best way to process would be
to get from the gym with
the biggest issues.
Tomorrow's not a good day.
Just
my hell week.
On campus.
I'm staying up all night. I do a mix. I write a paper.
That's sort of another brainstorm.
Good luck later.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'll start inviting you again next week.
Okay.
I'm starting keto tomorrow.
I have a hurry for you.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Set up.
Is this usually?
No, we haven't been.
I'm really sorry for that policy.
Oh, okay.
It's been a long time coming.
Long time coming. Long time coming.
Yeah,
all good. Yeah, no, it's
actually, I think we have to finish here by 9 because it's a bus.
There is about
10 minutes, so. Yeah, and like, Robert, even if you don't get all of the results done tonight, you can just email it all in tomorrow, so no rush to finish it in the 5 minutes or anything.
Yeah, it's going to take, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just to, yeah, because I'm going to Ottawa next week, I would say like early to mid-November, we can start putting some stuff together. I can get a visual doc together as well.
Yeah.
I do already have a doc. That's right. I will share it with you, the good doc, because I took, did I email you and Philip the data that our research department pulled from the annual survey? Okay, I'll just send that document, because I'll send the policy draft document where I basically just throw in a bunch of information down in the survey, so we can use that to go forward to.
When does your term end? The fall term, when is the fall term party set at? No, like just for like this.
Okay,
I
think it's the same.
I want to make sure we set up like our own thing that we have up with.
Like the Remembrance Day long weekend?
Okay.
But we won't do too much over that week, so that everybody's like, please go rest.
Do you still have in the winter? Because I know one of the big issues is usually you have a week off for
spring reading week.
Like winter reading week. Ours is the third weekend of February usually. I don't know if you get that class, but
I think it's
Okay, we can take our seats again. We're gonna keep going.
Keep messaging about this stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be
Thanks
for doing this.
That is a good page.
Great. Can we please take our seats?
That's global warfare.
It is 8:26. We must hurry.
It's like
hurting.
Yeah, we will.
It really is.
Can we take our seats, please? I think we're starting now. Okay.
Thank
you. Let's go.
Yeah.
Don't break it. Let's go. Okay. So I'm going to count the ballots later because there's a lot and I have to do some math to figure it out. So I'm going to count them on the way home and I will email you all the results tonight or tomorrow morning. All right, so perfect. You got to keep going. I will be in the library all night tonight if anybody wants to hang out. So you can come count with me then. All right, moving on. We have approximately half an hour, a little bit less than to catch our bus. Moving on. Brown moves to appoint or approve first principles of the tuition policy. Is there a seconder to this motion? Councillor Vargas Alba, and then VP Brown, you have a minute. Go ahead.
All right, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we are updating the tuition policy, taking into account a few changes that were made to the Post-Secondary Learning Act last year. We basically, for first principles, just put into the facts some of the changes that were made. For example, giving the Minister of Advanced Education or equivalent the ability to freeze domestic tuition, the cap on domestic tuition, the changes to international student tuition structures, as well as, I think that was the other biggest change. Basically just talking about sort of what we have now established and what we have now accomplished, and what we would like to keep in that legislation around tuition. So I'd say that's pretty much it.
All right, thank you. Any comments or any debates on this motion? If there's none, then we will vote. Again, please raise your placards nice and high so I can see. But all in favor? All opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes. Okay, we'll move on to next one is SAN moves to adopt the second principles of the student spaces policy. I don't believe she's in the live stream right now. Is there anybody would you like to introduce? Okay, C moves, seconded by President Bhatnagar. Okay, Councillor C.
So we've worked on this for a long time. I just know that. Yes, and we looked at it a lot and we're comfortable with it. Some different things that we did is include a clause there for climate change, so make sure that the spaces, I forget where it's at, better awareness, or we added better awareness and then lowest possible cost, and then also prioritize buildings that are most inaccessible to students, and then I think we also added one to follow the principle of carbon neutrality. So those are some highlights from this policy.
All right, thank you. Is there any debate on this motion? President Bhatnagar.
This is just a point to note for the administrative people that put together this agenda, but I think it was submitted incorrectly because I'm really seeing the resolutions, but we're approving second principles, which includes the facts and the resolutions. So I have the facts from the previous agenda, which like they look good to me, but I think it was submitted incorrectly for counselors that are looking. The second principles doesn't mean that you're only approving the resolutions, you're approving the whole policy, but it was only submitted so that we can only see the resolutions.
Yeah,
Councilor Vargas.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, I just put the ones that we're voting on because we already had it voted on. But in the future, I'll add the full updated policies. So that was on me. Yeah. Thanks for letting us know.
Okay, any further debate on this? Seeing.
Do we need a seconder?
President Bhatnagar.
Okay,
seeing none, we'll vote. All in favor of this motion, please raise your placards nice and high. All opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, this motion carries. Okay, moving on. Draper moves on behalf of Bylaw Committee to approve the first principles of Bill Number 4. Is there a seconder for this?
Well, he's not here. Oh, he's sorry.
Wow.
Is there a seconder? You want a second? Okay, Councilor Madeisha seconds. Is there someone to introduce this, Proxy?
Proxy, you have to defer your time to me if you want.
Okay.
Councilor Madeisha, you just go for it.
Just get it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So Bill 4 is like bylaw 2200, election bylaw. It's pretty cumbersome. It's longer than the average bylaw right now. So since it like encompasses two pretty separate procedures, what we want to do is break it down into the executive and board of governors elections bylaws, and then everyone else. That's pretty much what we're doing for Bill 4.
All right.
Two different things.
Is there any debate on this motion, President Banagher?
Have you given any thought to numbering? Because like, how will that impact? Will it be 2200 A and B schedules, or?
Alright, no. Yeah, we gotta be back on the speaking list to talk during debate. But Councilor Madeisha, do you wanna speak? Okay, go for it.
We're still in consultation for the numbering. I think we were talking about A and B, but it's still something we are thinking about. Do you have any recommendations?
Alright. Thank you. Any more debate? Sorry, y'all. So any debate on this motion? If there is none, we'll vote on it. So again, nice and high, please. All in favor of this? I haven't even scored to the top yet, and you're almost done. Any opposition? Any abstentions? Seeing none, this motion carries. All right, moving on. Draper moves on behalf of Bylaw Committee to approve the first principles of Bill Number 5. Is there a seconder to this motion? BP Brown. Is there someone to introduce? BP Brown.
So this is a proposal that I brought to Bylaw Committee, which is something I campaigned on when I ran for this role, is that I believe the role of the VP External itself can be sort of grown to accommodate finance or fundraising as well for the Students' Union. We do have the capacity to fundraise as a Students' Union. We've sort of done it before, but not in a way that I believe we can, because there has been no executive that has ever been in charge of fundraising directly. This would be where we're sort of headed in a direction now, given wanting to decrease our reliance on membership fees and still support students through things like scholarships, services, events, and whatnot. We want to make sure that we're in a financially stable position to do those sorts of things, and so. We've done our research. There's really nowhere else and no other student union in the country that's sort of taking this direction. And to my knowledge, putting this in the VP External's mandate would be the first time an executive of any SU in Canada would be responsible for something like fundraising. So it's a really new and exciting chapter. So I have already written the actual wording of what I would like to see reflected in the bylaws, but this is sort of the concept of the first principles, and I'm happy to take questions.
All right, thank you, BZ Brown. Is there any debate on this motion, President Batnagar?
I'd like to propose a friendly amendment to the motion. SEEF is incorrectly labeled. It's the Students Involvement Endowment Foundation.
Is that taking this friendly? Yes, that is friendly. All right, so that now has been changed. To Student Endowment Involvement.
Student Involvement Endowment Foundation.
Okay, Student Involvement Endowment Foundation. Perfect. Is there any more debate on this motion? Seeing none, we will vote on Bill Number 5. Please raise your placards nice and high. All in favor? Any opposition? Any abstentions? Seeing none, this motion carries. Okay, Larson moves to approve the first principles of the sexual violence policy. Is there a seconder for this? Councillor Kidd. And then VP Larson, do you want to introduce?
Certainly, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the actual PDF of the policy was not attached in the agenda, but if you'll check your emails, I sent one out a little while ago with the first principles attached, and the changes are highlighted in red. So I guess the biggest change, I guess, piece here is on section 3, the two subsections, noted I and II, where Indigenous women, children, Two-Spirit people are almost three times as likely to experience sexual violence than non-Indigenous women, and that was gathered from Statistics Canada.
And then the racialized and gendered violence that is faced by Indigenous women, children, and Two-Spirit people is a direct result of ongoing colonialism in Canada, either from the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls Report. And then the other changes here are just to be a little bit more inclusive in language and to reflect the new legislation that allows for cannabis consumption. Section 8 here notes that while societies are beginning to adapt was an addition piece here, and then to reflect student, staff, and faculty in point 10. So not a ton of the language really deviated. The consultation sort of reflected what we still know and was reflected in the original policy prior to being revised. And the reason that we didn't...
All right, thank you, VP Larson. But if you want to speak again, is there anybody who'd like to debate on this motion? VP Stat?
I usually don't like speak in favor when I know pretty much everyone's already going to vote in favor of this anyways, but I do want to speak in favor specifically this time because I know VP Larson's going to want to work into it. But further to that, he went out of his way to come out to ARC and speak to ARC about this and get their opinions after he was requested. To further improve the policy pathway was already worked on. So I think it should go through today and then be continued to review as it goes to the principles.
Right. Any other debate? Councillor Bargazalba.
Sorry, just to be very like semantical on it, I want to push back on the idea of going out of his way. I think that Councillor or B.P. Larson came to ARC through a somewhat necessary part of that process. So it wasn't going out of his way. I think that was actually part of the creation of the policy. I think that was done very intentionally in a very meaningful way, in ways that last time that this was pushed through and didn't go through, the reason for why we voted it down was because that wasn't done in a way that we felt was intentional and meaningful enough. And we feel, hopefully, as though that now has been done.
All right, thank you. Councillor Dixon.
I'm trying to find it now, but I think when I read over it, it said that this is going to be reevaluated and updated, like, often, I think, was the language that was used, or, like, you know what I mean? That no, I can't find where I found it before. But my question was about that, like, how often, like, is that going to happen? Like, sorry, about revising this, or, like, I just read this. Where did it go?
Is it in the resolution?
So continually modify and continually update. So what does that look like?
Is that in the resolution?
Yeah.
Okay, we're just looking at the facts right now.
Oh,
so that'll be changed. That was reflected in the old policy, so it'll be revised and gone through, but...
Okay,
thank you. Any other debate on this motion? To approve the first principles of the sexual violence policy. President Bhatnagar, is that a placard? Okay, go for it.
Wait, we're approving first principles of the policy as a whole, so we have to approve the facts and resolutions. They're not two separate things. Like, I think that there's a little bit of confusion around first and second principles right now, because first principles is like the intention of the policy. So if the facts and the resolutions have the right intention, that's first principles. The second principles is just voting on if the intention in the first principles was accurate or not. I feel like there's some confusion because we're missing facts and resolutions in places that, like, and then there was just comment made. I could be misunderstanding the debate, but if people want to speak to that, I'm just very curious because we are approving the facts and the resolutions intention, and then the second principles will approve if the first principles intention, like if the intention was to like talk about Indigenous representation in the Missing and Murdered Indigenous, the MMWIG, sorry, then the resolutions, or the second principles would be, did the intention line up? Anyways, I feel like there's just some confusion, so just so people know, when you're voting on the first principles, you're voting on fact and resolutions, intentions of the policy being created.
All right, thank you, President Bhatnagar. I'm trying to put it on the screen for us all to read it. So this is the legislative process for political policies. Apologies if you can't read it or it's behind you.
It just says it's the same as bylaw. It just says that it follows bylaw, but it's policy.
So I guess this is the important part?
Yeah, the principle and or objectives are listed in specific wording of legislation.
All right, so that's first principles. So with that, is there any more debate on this motion?
So just a point of information. I'm a little bit confused here because the way we've been doing this all, like, and maybe we've been doing it wrong, is that like we vote on first principles and just first principles without looking at the resolutions, because the way we've brought forward every policy is that you can't actually have any resolutions if you don't first have the intention of the policy. And like the resolutions reflect the principles and the philosophy that we bring behind every policy, which is why kind of the policies have been submitted either just in their first parts or the second part, and I don't see that actually reflected in what it says up here. So I don't know if we defer to the speaker or to, I don't know, but that's how we've been doing it. And then it could be wrong, right? But we've just been looking at like either the first principles on their own, and when those go through, the second principles on their own, reminding ourselves of, I mean, intending that on their own because of the fact that we have previously voted on the philosophy and the principles of what that stands for. I'm not sure what's happening, but yeah.
President Vatnagar?
Well, Kate, actually, Councilor Kidd was on speaking this first.
Oh.
Thank you. So, two things. While Councilor Dixon has a fair point, I don't think that should stop us from voting this through. That can be changed for second principles, especially because this policy has been brought to council once before, and I think it's important that we try and do the work. Second, I think the way policy committee has seen it, or at least my view of it, is that the facts always line up with the resolutions. So if you agree on the facts, you think those are right, our resolutions would be still following through. Like, we worked very hard to make sure that the number of facts lines up with exactly with the resolution. So I think we're still following first principles and second principles. We're just, our idea of what like the general meaning or the general idea of the policy is coming through with facts first. That might be different from what council views, but I'm pretty sure that's how policy committee has been seeing it. Actually, I am certain that's how policy committee has been seeing it.
Okay, thank you. Any more debate or comments on this, President Vatnagar?
I think that we've been doing it correctly. There's no, like, I don't think there's been a mistake. My biggest concern is that we're conflating first principles with facts and second principles with resolutions. When that's not the case, first principles can include a few key resolutions. Like, let's say you have a bunch of facts and you're like, for example, one of the resolutions might be blah. That's not against policy to bring it forward. It's just not common practice. But I, like, the way it's outlined today is fine, but we have to stop conflating first principles and facts and second principles and resolutions because they're not correlated. But the like you're not doing it wrong in saying that first principles impact second principles, impact facts, impact resolutions. So it's not wrong, but I would just be wary of saying that we're only voting for facts versus only voting for resolution approval, because at second principles level, you can still refute a fact, say that you don't want a fact to be included, or you want to add a fact, for example. All
right, thank you. Any more comments or debate on this motion? I can't see anybody, so seeing none, we'll move on to the vote. I'll go back to it. So Larson moves to approve the first principles of the sexual violence policy, seconded by Councillor Kidd. All in favor, please raise your placards high. All opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, that passes. Okay, Dixon moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Sustainability Committee. Is there a seconder for this? VP Agarwal. Councillor Dixon, do you want to introduce?
So if you'll remember, a few weeks ago, we approved the standing orders for the new Sustainability Committee, and then we elected two individuals of council. Councillor Alba suggested that we wait until the new councillors were in their positions in order to elect another person, just to give them the opportunity to sit on this committee. Pretty simple. It's just going to be reviewing the practices of BSU and creating recommendations for change, essentially. This is the opportunity for new councillors, but also all councillors, to kind of get nominated and elected to that committee.
Hey, perfect. Thank you. Is there any nominations, Councillor C?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Conrad.
Yep, I accept.
Councillor Conrad, I'm going to write that down. Sorry. Any other nominations? Councillor Vargas Alba.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Kidd.
Councillor Kidd?
No, thank you.
Any other nominations?
there are none, then goes to Councillor Conrad. All right, I'm trying here, y'all. Councillor C, is this something that can be done tonight?
Yes.
The audit? Okay, then C moves to approve the Student Union 2018-2019 audit. Is there a seconder for this? Councillor Kidd, thank you. Councillor C, do you want to introduce? You have a minute.
Hi, everyone. So we couldn't, so this was actually supposed to be approved last time, but Mancrete accidentally put it on the late edition, so it's okay because they have some accounted stuff. It has to be approved this meeting because they write checks or something at the end of the month, so this is the last council meeting before that happens. So that's why I'm very glad that we got to this before 9. And so what audit committee did was look through, have the CPA from KPMG come and present to us. So they gave us a presentation and then they had two findings, which I forwarded off to Mark, who is one of the general managers. And then, so like that was the duty of audit committee and they didn't find any problems with the SU audit. So we're good to approve them and we just need to vote on that now.
All right, thank you. Is there any debate on this motion?
Where is it? In the late editions?
I did not know that we just submitted in here, like the whole thing, but if you want me to submit that to you, anybody who wants to have that.
Can you forward it now? Because we can't approve documents we don't have.
Yeah, I can't vote in favor if I haven't read it.
Okay. I just thought you'd take audit committee's word for it, because you don't look at that, but.
I mean, I love y'all, but.
Can we, then in that case, while that's happening, can we move to the next motion?
Okay.
So we'll go to Bhatnagar moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Aboriginal Students' Council Board. Is there a seconder for this? VP Brown, President Bhatnagar, do you want to introduce?
Sure. Hi, folks. So the Aboriginal Students' Council is a new dedicated fee unit. They're an incredible board. They meet typically this semester on Mondays, but they're very flexible on meeting with you. They deserve somebody on their board who's able to dedicate time and resources to them, as I was unable to do so, as we all heard a few meetings ago. So I would encourage anyone that genuinely cares about this to be involved in this, but understand that it's your responsibility to be present and able to commit yourself to these meetings and not to just throw away your responsibilities and not be present. It is, though, an incredible board. The people, Councillor Blondin can speak to it, as he also sits on the executive committee of the Aboriginal Students Council. Former Councillor Catherine Belcour is the president of the Aboriginal Students Council, and Councillor Sunday is also a member of the executive, so there's a lot of representation here, but they need a specific representative from the Students Union that's different from their executive. Anyways, great time, great folks. They meet typically in the Aboriginal Students Council Lounge, which is attached to the PowerPoint.
Perfect. Are there any nominations for this role?
Sir, just point of information.
Yes.
What time on Mondays?
The President Bhatnagar. Right?
From my understanding, they typically meet from 12 to 1, but they're very, like, they are, I think they're quite flexible, but 12 to 1 is what they've been meeting this semester.
All right, thank you. Any nominations for this role? Councillor Dillon.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Kidd.
Councillor Kidd?
Sure.
That's Councillor Kidd. Any other nominations? If there are none, then Councillor Kidd.
Yeah.
Hey, Councillor C, have you sent the document out?
I'm trying to find all the details. They're in the drive, right?
Just send it to council.
How do you
do the council email.
And then President Bhatnagar, can the go on camera wait?
We'll just like table it
around. Point of information.
I don't think they can.
Wait, is it council submission?
No, just
council
at
SU.
Point of information.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if we can use the in camera to just get an update on whatever it might be from the exec. It doesn't have to lead to any sort of discussion, but I feel like we postponed so many in cameras that led to conversations that, well, things that we needed to hear. Regardless of whether or not we have a conversation about it, I would like to hear what this is about.
Can I add a comment? I don't know how to do that parliamentarily, but maybe if exec just wants to talk about the updates and then everyone, if they have questions, you can message them privately.
Yeah.
Follow up.
It's just like
point of parliamentary inquiry,
yeah.
Mr. Speaker. I don't know how to go on camera in a space like this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The other thing is from the perspective of over here, like the bus is supposed to leave at 8 minutes, now you have like 4 minutes of cleanup to do at least. So I just don't know if it'll be possible. What we can do is we can do like attendance, and then you can like informally speak for 4 minutes or something like that. But I don't know if we'll be able to go on camera right now.
Point of
yeah.
parliamentary inquiry. We have to vote on this audit.
Yeah,
like they have
we're
to.
We're almost
pay
there.
Inquiry,
I'm just
so
putting
that
last.
No, sorry. Like what I'm trying to say is that needs to be prioritized before in camera, or else people are getting paid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, as much as I want to go in camera, but we just have to.
So I see that. But I think that so the motion to go in camera will likely not be able to happen tonight.
It's about. Can I just start talking and you can cut me off if you feel the need?
For what?
I'm just gonna start talking. So vote.
Councilor C, have you sent the document?
Yes, I've sent it. Did everybody get this update? While people are reading the audit, since you have to read it,
does it matter?
On it,
I also let SU.
Dot you all.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Okay, let's bring it in. So it was sent out, and now President Bhatnagar, you want to speak about it?
I got it. Just
okay.
Refresh your
thing.
Okay, President Bhatnagar, you have 4 minutes.
I just got it.
Okay, while people are reading the audits, I'm just going to quickly like give an update. It's not fully what I wanted, but I'll just quickly say the biggest items that we want to talk about is that the budget's being released on Thursday. So the stuff that we talked about in the last meeting as to like what response we're looking for, we're likely going to do a press release same day of the release of the budget. We're not going to have time to respond, like to go to council, get your feedback, and then go back. But the overall messaging, because we have no idea what it's going to look like, if we're making the assumption of what we made last council, is probably going to be talking about not increasing tuition on the backs of students, looking at alternate measures of supporting the budget cuts. So like whether that's admin, whether that's cutting other services, but understanding that tuition increase is 99% likely going to be part of the discussion in terms of the budget increase. But I guess the TLDRs, if you have a lot of thoughts on action regarding what you want to do post that press release, just like let us know in the chat. We'll be pretty responsive and in it all day. We'll likely just give updates in the chat. I'm going to task VP Brown to just do that. So he'll update you on the release as it's going out in the chat. And then, and apparently Adam's going to be able to get to the legislator for the announcement, so that would be awesome. But it's probably going to be a big conversation and discussion, is that the budget is literally taking up my entire like work time. It's like all we have to do is look at the budget and the board. All the board is doing is going into close for like 4 hour meetings. We're in close for 3 hours of those meetings talking about budget. And it's not even just U of A, it's not even the provincial budget, it's also the U of A budget that's being fully rolled out 2021. So there's a lot of faculties that are winning and losing in that scenario. So keep an eye out if you have questions about budgeting. It is really confusing. I find it confusing when I first started. So if you need someone to help walk you through what it means, I'd be happy to do that. I might do it as a presentation and close at the next council. So just as a note, it is confusing, but we are trying to find alternate measures. This is basically all I can say without going into actual close, but if you have feedback, we'll be very active in the chat, 3:15 until about 4 to 5 in the council chat, so just keep your eyes open, let us know if you hear anything. We can go to the audit now.
All right, thank you, councillors.
The bus won't leave, don't worry.
Okay, is there more? I put the microphone away, my apologies. Is there any more debate on this, like, Councillor Hadoosh?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
Sam, is there just anywhere in these documents that say, like, everything is good? Like, I'm just going to assume.
Yeah, so if you look in the, okay, go to bindings, which is, like, the third document.
Yeah.
And then you go to page 13, which is not labeled 13, but if you see page 11, go down 2 more pages.
Okay.
And then you get to control observations. And then,
control observations.
So everything is good except for,
yeah.
First, IT management and 2 terrible distributions, which we already brought up the SIEF thing, and then we also already brought the IT manager to Rebecca, and so we already confirmed that it's in the minutes. Thomas wrote it down that Inova said it's all good. They didn't find fraud. These are the 2 findings out of the report.
Okay.
They extensively gave us a 1 hour report on these 3 documents. So.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any more debate, Councillor Vargas Alba?
Yeah, I think this should pass, but I think I'm going to vote against it. I think it's really bad governance to push through something so important in the last 10 minutes of council.
Okay, I did not know.
Hey,
order.
But yeah, no, I know that. But I just, like, just for the record, like, I think, like, this is really important. And this can't be the norm for council. Like, yeah, this needs to be half sent out. And I didn't get the full chance to look at the whole thing. I buy it, but I can't personally vote in favor.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Vargas Alba. Anybody President Batnagar?
I'd like to plus one the comments of Councillor Vargas Alba, as much as I trust KPMG, like as the fiduciary arm and like as elected committee, the fiduciary responsibility folks of the audit, like it is really bad governance to submit an audit with 10 minutes and then have to approve like pages and pages of documents. So I will be voting yes as per my responsibilities, but I would like it to be noted that this was pretty poor governance to approve the audit of a $14 million organization.
All right, thank you. Councillor C.
I'm very sorry for that. I didn't know that I had to put this document into the thing. I planned it ahead of time, and if I'd known, I actually did submit this already to Manfred last council meeting, but because she forgot and it went to late editions, and then I would have known that in time, I would have given that, we would have had that problem, and then I could have actually given it to us in advance in this one. That's why the time is so tight, but we already planned ahead to have this so she'd review it, give us a presentation, we'd look at it, findings, and then I'm sorry that I didn't have that down, but yeah, I'm very sorry for that. I know now that we have to put the documents in.
Yeah. All right, any more comments or debate on this motion? All right, if there is none, we will vote on it. So, motion to approve the student union 2018-2019 audit. Please raise your placards nice and high. All in favor? Okay, thank you. All opposed?
Yeah.
And are there... so that's four. Five. Are there any abstentions? Do you want to hear?
Can I abstain? Does it count as a proper abstention if I don't feel comfortable approving it?
I'm not comfortable saying why you can and can't abstain. That's a you choice.
Okay, fine. Against.
Okay, against. That still passes. So I did attendance while you were all sitting down. So you're all here. Congratulations. And we are adjourning at 8:59 p.m. Can you all bring me your placards, please?
Everybody clean up.
Anybody who's not on the bus and wants to go out with ASA and the exact same and us, you're welcome to come. We'll just be hanging out with the camera for a bit.
How can I help you? I'll just pack up real quick.
You got all the placards?
You can wait
with that. My car is. Anyone who's going to get if you drove, please.
No.
It's
too late. It's too late.
Acacia, or someone.